United States v. Rice. Mr. Raith.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Douglas Rath, R-A-T-H-E. I'm the court-appointed counsel for Julio Rice. I'd like to start off by once again addressing the issue of the Commerce Clause and firearms. This court has consistently rejected challenges brought by defendants.
So why are you starting there? Starting with your weakest argument or what?
Judge, I don't think it's the...
Building up to some culmination of...
Judge, I think it's a key argument here.
That's your best. I mean, you're making it in the wrong court, aren't you?
Judge, the issue that is before the district court and now before this court is an issue of evidence. It is not an issue of statutory or constitutional challenge. What you have here is that the U.S. Supreme Court and this court has consistently said that an item in commerce ceases to be in commerce, or at some point there is a cessation of the time it is in interstate commerce. What happened here is the government chose to bring its argument that the firearms were in commerce. The evidence before the district court is that the guns moved and there was a period of time, clearly they traveled across state lines, but at some point when an item is in commerce, it ceases to be in commerce. This court has said so in United States versus Scosa. At some point, an item comes to rest. And that's what we have here. A gun is no different than any other manufactured item. It cannot be in commerce indefinitely. And if the government chose in this case to say that the item was in commerce, it had to prove before the jury that it remained in commerce or re-entered commerce. There is evidence that shows that the guns left its various places.
Well, for purposes of this statute, when would it cease to be in commerce?
Judge Skozin says it's a practical decision made on a case-by-case basis. And so what you have here is...
That's completely nebulous.
Well, you have a gun. You have two guns. The one gun that left one state 10 years before it came into possession of the defendant. Another gun came into the defendant's possession 6.5 years later. Something cannot be in commerce forever.
And so, what rule would you have us adopt to put some limitation on that? Understanding the language is at some point in time.
Well, again, if we take the Skozin language...
And why?
The determination of whether a shipment has come to rest is a practical one. An interstate shipment loses its characteristic when it arrives at its final destination and it's there delivered. So I would say that once Rice took possession of the gun...
Are you quoting from a tax case, or what kind of a case?
Well, this was actually, I believe, a cigarette case, Judge. But it was a criminal case. It is at 405 Fed 3rd, 537, 2005 by this court. I understand that circuit courts around the United States, this court has not exactly welcomed Commerce Clause challenges. It said Congress has the right to do it. Scarborough, the U.S. Supreme Court decision, simply says establish a minimal nexus. We're not disputing that it crossed a state line.
And again, I ask, so what are you suggesting is the rule that we adopt? Because we got one gun 10 years, one 6.5 years before. So how would you fill in the blank? Is it 5 years? I mean, give us some rationale, some basis, some practical way to make that determination.
If the gun has, clearly, if an item, let's say we take an analogy to a stolen piece of property, which at some point continues in transit and then is delivered. It's the point of delivery where the interstate commerce has stopped, unless it either re-enters interstate commerce, or if the government had chosen to actually say that it affects interstate commerce. The Supreme Court has said affecting commerce and in commerce are not the same thing, and I think the courts have just simply said they're one and the same. The language really doesn't mean anything different, but they do mean something different. If the government had shown that it might have affected commerce, maybe it would have gone on for a period of time. If the government chose...
So your position would be if it charged affecting commerce, then there wouldn't have been any time bar, or there shouldn't be any time bar.
Yes, but when it's in commerce, there should be a time bar.
And then, again, what would you give us as a principle to make that? So you're saying once it enters the state of Illinois and goes to somebody, that would be... when it should stop.
Well, no, I don't think so, because at some... I'm sorry, Judge.
No, you said point of delivery, so I'm just trying to figure out when you're...
I would say that there is a reasonable period of time that from the time it enters the state of Illinois to the time it comes in the hand of a felon, that it should be part of the interstate commerce. Is that 1 month, 6 months, 1 year? I don't have a good answer to that, but I would certainly say anything more than 1 year would suggest that any possible connection to interstate commerce has now ended. I mean, is there a rational basis for me to say 1 year?
No, look, the statute only requires an effect on interstate commerce. Now, clearly, punishing these people who use firearms or have them illegally and so on, that obviously affects the interstate the commerce in firearms, which is, of course, interstate. It's not a locally produced product.
I don't disagree with Your Honor, but
if you didn't punish these people, you would have more trafficking in guns, right?
Yes. And
drugs, same thing. Would you make the same argument that the federal government can't punish the possession of control substances because they've come to rest?
No, Congress has taken a totally different... Drugs themselves are contraband.
You're missing the point. They're only contraband because the government has exercised its power under the Commerce Clause to outlaw them.
Every jurisdiction has outlawed drugs. No jurisdiction...
You don't understand. The federal government is a government of limited powers. It needs a constitutional handle to declare something contraband. So assuming that the possession of controlled substances is forbidden under the commerce power, right? Then you have the identical case to this.
I'm sorry, Judge.
What do you think is the constitutional basis for the federal drug laws?
The constitutional basis, again, it's the Commerce Clause.
Precisely. And so what's the difference between cocaine coming in from some foreign country, but then coming to rest and being stored by a dealer, and then he sells it? So what's the difference between that and using a gun after the gun has come to rest?
Because cocaine has no legal legitimate purpose and gun does.
That's irrelevant. Look, whether it has a legitimate purpose has nothing to do with whether it's in or affecting commerce. That's a completely separate issue.
Okay. My only response to that is that Your Honor is doing what I believe should not be done, and that is saying in and effect or affecting commerce is essentially the same thing. If the government...
Right. So why don't now think about the logic of your argument as it applies to drugs. It's identical. Drugs, guns, same thing.
Judge, I am...
So let's take drugs that have lawful uses, prescription drugs, right?
Yes.
You still can get into... You still can be, you know... If you sell prescription drugs for an improper purpose or something like that, or cough medicine, you know, if you sell that to people who make methamphetamine out of it or something like that, it's illegal. So like guns, these are drugs that have lawful and unlawful uses, but there's no question that they can be regulated by the federal government under the commerce power.
I agree with this court and agree with what you've just said. But I would suggest that this is simply, I am not asking this court to make any constitutional ruling.
Look, you're in a complete muddle because you're trying to distinguish between guns and everything else that the government regulates, which you think is fine, like drugs. It's the same thing.
Judge, all I'm saying is that if the government chose, which it did in this case, to show that the guns were...
Just think about this in reference to the drugs. A person buys drugs from a dealer. It's been sitting in his house for a year since he got it from someone who'd gotten it from Colombia or somewhere. The same case.
Well, Judge, I understand your thinking. I just...
You're completely... Look, you've wasted your time making an argument which is completely barred by everything that the Supreme Court has been holding for the last 150 years.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Getter?
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the Court, Matthew Getter on behalf of the United States. Your Honor, the appellant has not given the Court a good reason to change its position with respect to whether the government, federal government, has the authority under the Commerce Clause to regulate pursuant to Section 18 U.S.C. Section 922 G1. Their reliance on the Skozin case is inapplicable. The main reason being that Skozin is a statute that focuses on whether the goods are in commerce at the time the crime is committed, as opposed to 922 G1, which focuses on whether it was in or affecting interstate commerce, which has been borne out, based on the Scarborough decision, as Your Honor pointed out. As far as the sufficiency of the evidence is concerned...
Well, that wasn't argued. He wanted to spend all his time arguing about the Commerce Clause.
I'm sorry, Judge.
He wanted to spend all his time arguing. He didn't argue about the sufficiency of the evidence. So is there something you want to add that, you know, isn't in your brief or something?
No, Judge, there isn't. I just
have a question. Do you think there's a difference between in commerce and affecting commerce? Because the only reason this issue is here is because of how the indictment was charged.
Honestly, Judge, I don't know whether there's... If you take the literal definition of in commerce versus affecting commerce, I mean, that I think in the legal sense, the way it's been written in the statute, there really isn't much of a difference between the two. If a gun has traveled in interstate commerce, and then as appellant argues, the gun is then in the hands of a felon in one state for 6 years or 10 years, it still affects interstate commerce, as I believe Judge Posner pointed out.
Oh, absolutely, it affects interstate commerce, no question about that. So I'm just asking you, do you see a distinction between in commerce versus affecting?
I think I would have to parse out the phrase in commerce more. It would need to be defined further. And I think if one were to say, is the gun in the process of being transferred across state lines, then yes, I think there's a difference between being transported or in the process of being transported across state lines versus in commerce or affecting commerce. I think there's a difference between in the process of being transferred versus being in commerce.
Your bottom line is it affected commerce anyway, and you had sufficient evidence of that.
Yes, Judge.
So it didn't matter that the indictment language said in commerce.
Right.
Okay, that it?
Thank you very much, Your Honor. We ask that the court affirm the sentence as well as the conviction.
Next case for our